Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists.
Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world. Unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible, and this threatens authority. You were born to be a revolutionary. You can't stand rules because in your heart you know there's a better way.
Okay, here we are again on the BBS Radio Show, which is bbsradio.com/spiritualactivist. You can also find myself on Rumble at rumble.com/user/Rahasia Uncensored. And occasionally you can get some of my podcasts on YouTube, but not very seldom. They usually take them off. I get a strike. So I'm concentrating on BBS Radio and Rumble right now. I also have a BitChute channel, but not putting much on there. I'm focusing on Rumble and BBS Radio. Now today, we're going to have a little bit of fun. Until you start thinking about it, then it's not all that funny, I guess. But we're going to have a little bit of fun because I've taken you for a walk back through my property, and we've had some nice times. But let's take a look at some of the bits and pieces of what's going on in our world that you're not getting. Trust me on this. Let's start out with the let's just say the White House has a new anthem, and leave it at that. Okay, here we go.
You know, my dad had an expression. He used to say, you know your success as a parent when you turn and look at your child and realize they turned out better than you.
There's no way of knowing how it got there or whose it is, but it appears that cocaine has been found at the White House.
We have a yellow bar containing cocaine, hydrochloride.
Yes!
I would like to know blow by blow who was responsible for this.
Too soon.
Indeed, cocaine. Now, again, this is part of an ongoing investigation.
I can't even fathom anything like this having been found before in the West Wing, and I go back to the 70s at the White House.
Piece of crack cocaine, no bigger than this quarter that I'm holding in my hand, $0.0025. We passed a law that says, you're caught with that, you go to jail.
I spent more time on my hands and knees, picking through rugs, smoking anything that even remotely resembled crack cocaine.
Come on, man.
I think there's a lot of cheap shots taken at Hunter Biden. He's a recovering addict. It's not funny.
I like it.
Cocaine is a serious drug.
The big question, Andrea, is for how long had this item, which was described as a small dime-sized bag, been in this location?
That's like saying you, before you got in this program, you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not. What do you think, huh?
President is proud to have restored the rule of law.
No dive!
Now, here's the thing. Yeah. A lot of things to unpack there. But what a lot of people aren't thinking about is, how did this information come out? It came out through the Secret Service. The White House has their own hazmat team. The White House Secret Service has their own private communication network. For some reason, they called in an outside hazmat team, and they used a communication system that they know is monitored by the media and just people. That tells me that the Secret Service is getting tired of the bullshit and the nonsense going on in the White House. They see what's going on, but they're not allowed to tell. You know, that's part of their code. But this is a way of letting it slip out and not getting any blowback on the Secret Service. They know what's going on. And there's got to be some Americans in there that still believe in the American way of life and the rule of law. So I think that's the backstory that would be pretty interesting to delve into. Now, we're going to go through a lot of things this time. And I just sort of have fun going through all this stuff. And I tell you, when you do, it takes you on a wild excursion ride through the craziest times. But let's get serious here for a second about what people are actually talking about now. Actually, Dr. Martin was talking about this at the very beginning, because he goes by the science, strangely enough. Listen to what he's talking. He's addressing the European Union right now. Just listen to some of the bits and pieces of that speech, and you can catch it online, probably Rumble.
Dr. David Martin was recently a guest at the European Union and laid out the timeline for the biggest democide in recorded history. You can see the full video on band.video. This is my short edit.
Coronavirus was identified in 1965 as one of the first infectious replicatable viral models that could be used to modify a series of other experiences of the human condition. What's particularly interesting about its isolation in 1965 was that it was immediately identified as a pathogen that could be used and modified for a whole host of reasons. In 1966, the very first COV coronavirus model was used as a transatlantic biological experiment in human manipulation and in human trials on inoculating people with modified coronavirus. The common cold was turned into a chimera in the 1970s. And in 1975, 1976, and 1977, we started figuring out how to modify coronavirus by putting it into different animals, pigs, and dogs, and that became the basis for Pfizer's first spike protein vaccine patent filed, are you ready for this, in 1990. And in 1990, they found out that there was a problem with vaccines.
Yeah, the problem is they don't work.
They didn't work. It turns out that coronavirus is a very malleable model. It transforms and it changes and it mutates over time. As a matter of fact, every publication on vaccines for coronavirus from 1990 until 2018, every single publication concluded that coronavirus escapes the vaccine impulse.
You know, I took care of my dad for 28 years, and he was getting the flu every year. He was part of the veterans medical establishment. He was getting the flu every year. He was getting a shot. And I didn't know too much better way back then, you know. But then I started realizing, my wife told me that, hey, wait, flus, they proliferate. They change so quick that none of the yearly flu vaccines are for that year's flu. It's for last year. So we stopped giving him the shot. He never caught the flu again. I'm just saying.
2002, the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, patented, and I quote, an infectious replication defective clone of coronavirus. And that work, patented at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, mysteriously preceded SARS 1.0 by a year. In 2005, this particular pathogen was specifically labeled as a bioterrorism and bioweapon platform technology. And from 2005 onwards, it was actually a biowarfare enabling agent, its official classification. We have been lured into believing that EcoHealth Alliance and DARPA and all of these organizations are what we should be pointing to, but we've been specifically requested to ignore the facts. that over $10 billion have been funneled through black operations through the check of Anthony Fauci and a side-by-side ledger where NIAID has a balance sheet and next to it is a biodefense balance sheet equivalent dollar-for-dollar matching that no one in the media talks about.
Now, stop and think about this. We're actually paying through our taxes. We're actually paying these people to get us sick and create a problem. And then we're paying them to come up with a phony solution. I don't know. Sometimes I get so frustrated, I guess is one word, with people. It becomes so clear after a while that there is no doubt about it left.
Poised for human emergence in 2016 at the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, such that by the time we get to 2017 and 2018, the following phrase entered into common parlance among the community. There is going to be an accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen. 7 months before the allegation of patient number one, 4 patent applications of Moderna were modified to include the term accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen as the justification for making a vaccine for a thing that did not exist. The intent was to get the world to accept a universal vaccine template, and the intent was to use coronavirus to get there. This was premeditated domestic terrorism stated at the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences in 2015. Does that sound like a bat and a pangolin went into a bar in the Wuhan market? This is an act of biological and chemical warfare perpetrated on the human race.
See the full video at band.video. See the full video at band.video. On this Memorial Day weekend, let us remember our friends and family that we've lost in this war against we the people being waged by our own government. And let us never rest until there is justice.
You know, there's a story that I just heard. I think it was on Twitter or something. And it's a story that goes something like this. A tiger is arguing with some moron, and the moron says the sky is green, and the tiger says, no, it's not, it's blue. And they argued and argued and argued, and finally they get so frustrated that they go to the lion, the king, and say, lion, can you tell me, this is the tiger, saying, lion, tell me, what should happen here? Is the sky blue or green? And he says, well, the sky is blue. And dismisses the moron. And he says, I'm going to give you 1 year of not being able to talk. And he says, why are you doing that for? You agreed with me that the sky is blue. He says, I'm not doing this because of the disagreement. I'm doing it because you were arguing with a moron and wasting my time bringing it to me. That's where I feel like I'm at sometimes. I've used the example before. I can argue with somebody that says 2 plus 2 equals 5. You know, I can get little children's blocks and put them down there, 2 and 2, and make them count 1, 2, 3, 4. And the argument's solved. But when they say, no, 2 plus 2 equals blue or red, how do you argue with somebody that is so separated from reality? And I've learned that you don't. You just walk away. Because the truth is, if you don't see what's going on by now, you never will. There's going to be 20% of the people that's going to go down with the Titanic and refuse to get on the rafts and curse us out and tell us we're crazy conspiracy theorists because the boat is unsinkable. Here's something that's dear to my heart, and I think if you haven't read the Declaration of Independence lately, you should try reading it once in a while. It is inspiring. Here we go.
The Declaration of Independence states that every person possesses three inalienable rights: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. 247 years have passed, and we have mostly forgotten what those words mean. Today, it seems that most of us think that the pursuit of happiness means the pursuit of pleasure and the avoidance of pain and distress. This confusion can best be explained by the dumbing down of America, which we covered in our last video, and the gross lack of spiritual enlightenment in today's society. In modern society, the childish atheist will often ask, if there is a God, why do bad things happen to good people? As if the earth is supposed to be a utopia where humans are born to experience nothing but pleasure. Like all utopian ideations, this is a fantasy for the weak-minded, who seek to avoid the pain of life. Bad things happen to everyone so that we can overcome them, learn, and grow. The earth is nothing at all like a utopia. It is a wild place where one must kill in order to live. It does not matter if one is carnivore, vegetarian, or vegan. And it does not matter if you pay someone else to kill for you. Life can only be sustained by life. And perhaps this is why civilization was created, which many will argue. But more often than not, civilizations have served the tyrants at the top while enslaving the people to run whatever system has been put into place. But on July 4th of 1776, our founding fathers drafted something very unique, perhaps the most revolutionary form of spiritual self-government which has ever been penned to paper. They understood what the pursuit of happiness meant. To Thomas Jefferson, it meant the pursuit of a meaningful life, and it was preceded on the list by life and...
Notice what that says. Health, learning, and virtue will ensure your happiness. They will give you a quiet conscience, a private esteem, and public honor. We have lost so much of that. And keep in mind that the United States of America was the first country, the first nation in the history of the world that set up a government for the people and by the people and of the people. And this is an experiment, and that experiment is about to fail if we don't rise up and take our government back. Thomas Jefferson said, you not only have the right, but you have the duty, when the government stops representing you, to step in and take that government back. And we can do that with civil disobedience, non-participation, setting up a parallel, alternate way of living. We can do this. People are doing it all over the world right now. It's just nobody's letting you know where that's happening.
Liberty, because individual freedom is needed in order to choose your own path in life. If God has a purpose for each and every one of us, then we have the right to live our life freely so that we can pursue our own life's work. The American Revolution created a form of government that serves to protect and defend the individual's right to pursue their very own path, so long as they respected the rights of others. It established a form of government whose sole purpose was to protect these unalienable rights that each individual human deserves. But this is obviously not the case anymore. The government today is serving the interests of what we could refer to as the New World Order, a worldwide police state to manage a belligerent population of undisciplined slaves. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are ethical goals, and the problem today is that the American people are no longer an ethical people. Most of us are chasing pleasure in whatever form we can find it in, whether it be drugs, alcohol, food, sex, or just something to buy that will make us feel good for a fleeting moment. While the New World Order definitely had a hand in all this, it is ultimately our own fault. They wanted to turn humanity into an ignorant slave class. So they laid out the bait in the form of social welfare, easy money, and easy access to all sorts of vice. And while some took the bait, those that didn't aren't really doing anything to help our fallen brothers and sisters. Those of us working towards a meaningful life are mostly out for themselves and see the rest as part of the problem. And this has likely been a human struggle throughout all of history. It has often been said that this life is a spiritual battle, and it most certainly is. The majority of the so-called left are not the enemy. They are our neighbors who, through trauma or ignorance, have come to believe the lies of the mainstream media propaganda machine, and they have been weaponized against American patriots by the New World Order. They are the fallen ones. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. If we expect a corrupt government to fix itself while we fight our fallen neighbors, then do we really deserve life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness?
This is so true. I mean, if we don't do something and really step in and start being forgiving at some point, it's hard to forgive some of these people right now when they're still doing what they're doing. But as people wake up and start realizing, I have friends that are going through this right now, but they have dug the hole so deep, it's hard for their ego personality to dig their way out of it and save face. And at some point, if you're in that position, you have to realize you're not going to save face and you don't want to save face, because the face you're saving is the face that got you into this problem in the first place. You acted like a fool. So admit it and get out of that ditch and come out here and enjoy and join the rest of us in trying to piece things back together. Because if we don't, we're just going to fall in yet another trap. The whites against the blacks, the blacks against the blacks, the Muslims against the Christians, and it just goes on and on and on and on. The whole thing is divide and conquer. We know this, but yet we fall into the same trap historically over and over and over. But the thing, I guess if we want to look at history, I know Joseph Campbell, he did a lot of work with this, A Hero's Journey. And every mythology, every motif, every analogy, it's basically about the same. And the reason it's the same is because we play out the same script every time. The important part about that script is to remember what happens towards the end. Because we're towards the end, people. It starts waking people up, and they become the heroes of their own story. And the hero goes out and slays the dragon. That's how it ends. It's going to end like that. But getting there, there's going to be a lot of casualties, a lot of innocent bystanders, because as we get closer to the end, we're going to get closer and closer to the climactic, devastating trials and tribulations they're going to put us through. There's just no doubt about that at all. And they're going to come at us, believe me. Now, here's a little bit about the two-party system. When our founding fathers first instituted our government, they seen the two-party system as the beginning of the end. And they said exactly what will happen if this is played out. And it's happening right now. So let's listen to this, and I think you'll enjoy, probably not the right word, find it interesting.
After 7 years of violent revolution, our American founders were well aware that political factions were most often used to divide and conquer the people. and they knew that the republic they created would only last as long as the people could remain educated. In 1816, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be." By the end of the Civil War, the two-party system became the norm. The globalist system we face today was born, and the deliberate dumbing down of the American citizen began with our great-great-grandparents.
Now keep in mind, I know there's a part in the Bible where it says something to the effect that for lack of information, my people will perish. Information is so important. If you're uninformed, and even worse, disinformed, and maybe even worse, uninformed, you're not going to be able to recognize the problem, let alone start coming up with a solution.
In the late 1800s, the Skinner-Pavlovian method was brought into American schools by Johns Hopkins. These psychological methods allowed teachers the ability to program students' behavior in the same way that Pavlov did with dogs. In 1934, the Carnegie International Endowment for Peace published the Report on the Commission on Social Studies, which explicitly stated the goal of eventually taking away people's land, and noted that most people would obviously oppose this. The solution was to begin using the school system to recondition the minds of children. In 1976, the bicentennial year of the Declaration of Independence, 124 congressmen signed the Declaration of Interdependence, which stated that two centuries ago, our forefathers brought forth a new nation. Now we must join with others to bring forth a new world order. And it pledged to give children special attention in distributing a common education to suit their goals. By the 1990s, this globalist dumbing down system was perfected, and America began exporting it worldwide in what is known as outcome-based education. Starting in 2010, Common Core began in the United States. It outlined what students were expected to know at each grade level and enforced ways to assess those standards. Charlotte Iserby, author of The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, has traced most of this agenda stemming from the Order of Skull and Bones at Yale through both Republicans and Democrats, two wings of the same globalist bird, which understood that dumbed down people have a base desire for a simple dualistic choice. In 1953, the Rockefeller Foundation funded the Robbers Cave experiment, wherein 11-year-old boys who thought they were signing up for summer camp were organized into two separate tribes and were manipulated into fighting each other, which was easily accomplished by having a single resource that the two groups competed for. The Henry Tajfel experiments of the 1970s showed that by simply dividing people into two groups, they would naturally identify with their own group and discriminate against the other. The basic ego mind is constantly making preferences. No matter how dumb you are, you have an opinion about everything. And if you can keep the population dumb enough and give them two parties to choose from, they will innately identify with one and despise the other. This allows the globalist system the cover they need to implement unpopular policies, such as a central bank digital currency, while we, the people, ignorantly fight each other. United we stand, divided we fall, and we've been falling for it for generations. The American people have been so thoroughly dumbed down that we think freedom is the ability to choose between two parties working for the same control system. And we have been made so weak that we are afraid to even discuss the option of violence, which is most often the only remedy for tyranny. But if we were an enlightened people, we could simply unite together as one and just say no to the tyrants. The answer to 1984 is 1776. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
And on we go. And it's so important right now, civil disobedience, to to at least do that much, put up some resistance. The next thing to do is go to local meetings, your school meetings, and people are having an amazing effect by acting locally. Now, you can think globally, but let's face it. I mean, as individuals, we're not in a position monetarily, financially, socially, politically, to have much of an effect globally. But locally, we can do this. And it starts at home. You know, it starts at home with making sure your kids are educated, making sure that when they come to you, if they have that strange look on their face, you ask them, what's going on? You know, get them to talk and ask them to tell you, what are the teachers telling you? You know, are they confusing you? Are you getting gender dysphoria pumped into your brain? You know, we need to start asking these questions. Okay, now maybe it's time to take a little bit more serious look at what's going on with the CBDC. This is something that we're going to have to come to grips with, because it's going to come knocking on all of our doors here pretty soon.
In a recent Time magazine article, Ray Dalio of Bridgewater Associates Hedge Funds warned that the world is on the brink of disaster. He came to this conclusion based on current events that haven't happened since the 1930s. The largest amounts of debt and inflation, the biggest gaps in wealth and values, resulting in the rise of populism on both the left and the right against the elites, and the greatest international conflict between world powers, most importantly, between the U.S. and China. Peter Ange writes that the easy way out of this mess would be for the elite to proactively shrink in scope, get government out of the economy, out of social engineering, and out of propagandizing kids. But of course, this won't happen. Common sense and simple observation will tell you that the so-called elites will continue on their path towards economic destruction and world war, which is likely what the international bankers had planned all along. Let us not forget that the fast-growing BRICS monetary system was born in 2001 out of Goldman Sachs. In 1971, President Nixon officially ended the gold standard and replaced it with the petrodollar, in which OPEC agreed to price their oil in U.S. dollars in exchange for U.S. military protection. This blood money deal preserved U.S. control over the world economy. But when the U.S. weaponized the SWIFT payment system against Russia, BRICS became the only viable solution for the rest of the world. Reuters in New Delhi reported that last May, the State Bank of India rejected Indian Oil Corp's planned payment in U.S. dollars for Russian oil. And so they went to a private bank and settled their trade for Russian oil by paying in yuan to the Bank of China, and have continued to do so since. A shortage of U.S. dollars in Argentina has caused commercial banks to allow the Chinese yuan as a form of currency in savings and checking accounts. Argentina has already been issuing securities in the Chinese yuan and has made a $2.7 billion payment to the International Monetary Fund using the Chinese BRICS currency. The Federal Reserve Bank's FedNow is scheduled for launch by the end of July. FedNow is officially an update to the Federal Reserve's payment processing and settlement system and appears to be a backdoor to creating a central bank digital currency. Private blockchain operator Tassat has partnered with the Federal Reserve's new payment system and will serve as an interface for FedNow. FedNow will also connect with Metal Blockchain, whose CEO and founder claims will allow banks to prepare for an eventual central bank digital currency, along with bank-issued stablecoins. The idea of a central bank digital currency is already hugely unpopular with the majority of Americans. But according to Dale Hauser, it is being set up to destroy alternative blockchain solutions, such as Ripple and Stellar. And if the powers that be are successful in destroying the U.S. economy, then the only other option to accepting a CBDC would be some sort of revolution, which would be nearly impossible, seeing as how divided the populist movement is within the left-right paradigm. Last week in China, the World Economic Forum proclaimed that the entire world needs to switch to a central bank digital currency with expiry dates and restrictions on undesirable purchases. They proposed using artificial intelligence to censor hate speech and disinformation on the internet, and using artificial intelligence to control a global social credit system that will involve wearable devices with sensors to monitor everyone's actions. If we the people fail to unite against the powers that be, then their solution will most certainly be world war, depopulation, and total control. And this is all happening right now.
Yeah. And here's where it gets tricky, folks, because to a large degree, there are too many people on the planet, I think. Some people say that we could have 12, 15 billion people. We have the resources, but I don't see that. I see what people do to natural beauty. And they cement it in, they blacktop it over, they rip out all the trees and build huge skyscrapers and create garbage dumps. I mean, I live out on 3 acres, so once a month I have to go to the dump, you know, because there's broken fence posts and this and that around here. When I go to the dump, just to see the local dump that's just for this Northern California community. Oh my God, it's amazing how much we throw away. My wife and I, we don't cook from boxes and canned goods and all that. We cook from vegetables, and we don't go through that much processed food at all. But every week we have a bag of trash, you know, a bag of trash. And that's just two people that really don't pollute that much or use that much processed foods. What does a family of four or five or six go through? I mean, I see these trash drums out in front of people's homes. They're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. They're huge now. It used to be really small, but now they're huge. So I think we need to start thinking about and taking the population and getting it under our control, because we can control the population through taxes, through assistance, through education. 70% of the black homes have no black father. That's got to be changed. It has to be changed. And that's been in the recent, like, 10 or 15 years that it's got that bad. The main killer of black young people are other blacks. I mean, I can say that as a white person because it's factual, evidence-based information. I don't know, sometimes I don't quite know what to say or what to do, except just keep on pumping out good information like I try to do. The next thing we're going to watch is I'm going to take you out on the wild side and drop us all down a rabbit hole, because this has to do with reptilians. And I know how that sounds. David Icke's been talking about it for a long time, but it's been happening more and more lately that maybe it's in our minds, I don't know, but people are saying they're seeing shape-shifting people more and more. And of course, with that information, there's going to be a lot of disinformation, people putting out obvious nonsense to try to pollute it. But if you go back in history, this has been talked about, and if you go to my Rumble channel or the BBS channel, you can watch Wetiko, Wetiko, parts 1 through 5. And I cover this pretty in depth and showing where it's showing up more and more and more. Even in the news media, they're talking about it in a veiled kind of a sense sometimes. You know, I was called out to Colorado to give a talk to the Hopi Indians about this, and they have their stories too, the ant people. And every culture throughout history has that to say. You know, next show, maybe I'll do some Rudolf Steiner. I've been getting into him lately. And do you know, in 1905, he actually wrote a book, a little more of a pamphlet, but a book on the what's going to happen in the future. And he specifically says they're going to put out a vaccination that will suppress our need to know anything about spirituality. And I can take that one step further and tell you that these vaccinations, I think they're made to sever our connection digitally through our DNA with our soul. That's just a guess on my part, but it's a guess based upon, you know, like the patent number is 2020-060606, the house rule 6666. One of the ingredients are luciferous. I mean, there's enough in there to make me think, okay, maybe the mark of the beast is somehow starting to rear its head right now. Okay, let's watch this.
A video of an emotional woman on a plane saying that the man next to her was not real goes viral.
That motherfucker back there is not real.
This is followed by multiple videos of people claiming to have witnessed the man's eyes wink from side to side.
When he winked at me, and it was his left eye looking back at me, it didn't wink like this. It winked like this.
It didn't like this. It was almost like his pupils winked. It was like from like this way.
A video from 2022 falsely claims that it captured the event. And while it all goes viral, many of us can smell the nonsense. A Freemason with 300,000 followers on TikTok releases a video claiming to be the actual man from the plane.
So we're attempting to fly out of Dallas-Fort Worth, and then basically this woman, she sits next to me, and she's clearly been drinking. I'm minding my own business, and sure enough, she sees my hoodie that has this free...
Oh, yeah, I trust this guy. I mean, one look at him, you can see that he's totally trustworthy.
Freemason logo on it. And on top of that, she noticed my ring, so she started to ask questions. Nothing dramatic, just asked me, do I know what these symbols mean? Why am I wearing it? What's the purpose? Yada, yada, yada. And long story short, I basically just say, hey, I'm a Freemason. Next thing I know, she basically starts to grill me about low-level Freemason and that it's all Satanism and that it's ruled by reptilians and blah, blah, blah. So I simply put my hood up and I started to ignore her and basically just mind my own business. So moral of the story, don't believe everything you hear on the internet.
You cannot believe anything you hear on the internet or anywhere else for that matter. And there are two main reasons why this all went viral. First off, the story of reptilian humanoids living among us goes all the way back to the beginning of recorded history. The oldest official writings on Earth are the Sumerian texts. They describe a reptilian race that genetically modified human beings with their own reptilian DNA. All three of the Abrahamic religions describe a reptilian race of humanoids that live among us. The story of the Garden of Eden in the Torah, wherein Adam and Eve were created in the image of the Elohim, reptilian beings known as the Nahash began breeding with Eve so that they could be more like the Elohim. According to the Torah, these Nahash were obsessed with genetic modification and still live among us today, where they feed off a substance called Afar, which is the same substance that human beings are made of.
By the way, that genetic manipulation they're talking about was considered the original sin. And that's why we were wiped out by God, or some high council of cosmic beings seeing that something had gone really off base here. What are we doing now? We're doing the same thing.
Christian Bible, this creature is described as a serpent in a tree. In the Nag Hammadi, early Christian Gnostics wrote of a race of creatures known as the Archons, described as a reptilian humanoid. These Archons fed off of humans, including negative emotions such as fear and anger. The Quran also has writings that describe reptilian creatures who live among us, known as the jinn. The Australian Aboriginal people have traditions and paintings that date back thousands of years, depicting a rainbow serpent creator god. And about 10,000 miles away, the Aztec Mayan serpent gods Colcucan and Quetzalcoatl are also described as rainbow serpents. and were believed to have created human beings using their own DNA. This is found everywhere. The Druids of England called it Hakpen. The Romans called it Glycon. In Africa, it was Niami Niami. In Egypt, it was Apophis. Many royal bloodlines have claimed to be descendants of these serpent gods, such as Alexander the Great of Macedon, Emperor Jimmu of Japan, and the Dragon Dynasty of Media, now known as Iran. The Nagas serpent beings of India are believed to still live among us in underground cities, and the Hopi Indians have stories of underground cities that are home to thousands of lizard people. Modern science supports the idea that humans have been genetically modified in the distant past, and neuroscientist Paul MacLean introduced the triune brain model, which is based on an evolutionary view of human brain development, the reptilian brain being the most primal. This is where our fight or flight response comes from. It is the home of our lower ego mind. If we are part reptilian, then this could explain why we are so flawed and why we have Jesus to show us how to behave. Which brings us to the second reason why this all went viral. The reptilian brain craves attention and distraction, anything to avoid looking at one's own flaws. But the only power that we really have is the power to change ourselves, the power to raise our own consciousness. And for every person who fails to do this, the world is left with another mentally ill person, adding to all the chaos.
And on we go, because this is happening to so many people as they start waking up and trying to see what's going on. It drives people into cognitive dissonance, and especially when their bias filters break down because the information is getting so overwhelming, they just shut down. I'm seeing it happen more and more and more. But like I say, I'm also seeing people wake up to this too, which is a good thing. Okay, now, since we started off with a cocaine song and a craziness going on in the White House, and we're ending up with reptilians, and it wouldn't be complete without showing you what a recent whistleblower is talking about down in the Antarctic. And remember, the Antarctic has been a subject for conspiracies for quite a long time. But I think you'll, like, listen to this guy. I mean, he's trying to tell us something, and if you add it with all the other information, it gets pretty indisputable after a while.
During World War II, the Nazis' most classified project was known as Die Glock, the Bell. Secret documents found years later reveal that the Bell was a new kind of exotic energy technology that could affect time and defy gravity. In 1939, the Nazis set up a secret base in Antarctica known as New Swabia. Starting in 1945, Operation Paperclip secretly brought hundreds of Nazi scientists into America, where they were hired by the military-industrial complex. In 1946, Admiral Richard Byrd led a military expedition known as Operation High Jump to seek out Nazi base New Swabia and other Antarctica bases. On his way back to the U.S., Admiral Byrd told Chilean newspaper El Mercurio that in the event of a new war, the U.S. would be facing military craft that can fly from one pole to the other with incredible speed. In 1959, a dozen nations signed the Antarctic Treaty, making it illegal for anyone to travel south of the 60th parallel without government permission. Since then, curious videos have circulated that show what appear to be Nazi UFOs. And just last Monday, Dr. Stephen Greer introduced Antarctica whistleblower Eric Hecker.
In 2010, I was selected to go down to the South Pole Station in Antarctica for an entire year by Raytheon Polar Services as an employee of a third-party contractor for the National Science Foundation. I function in a dual role capacity as a tradesman and a firefighter. My responsibilities required me to be more informed than most of my crew and offered me complete access to the facilities. What I learned from this unique experience needs to be shared with the entire world. The technology at the South Pole Station certainly can do what it is presented as its primary purposes, and unfortunately, much more. The Ice Cube Neutrino Detector is presented as a passive listening device for the purposes of the science as presented. But I'm going to skip right through the chase, folks. I have provided documentation that proves that the 5,160, what they call DOMs, that are embedded in the ice can actually transmit at 2,047 volts each. That gives us a long list of things to consider. It is effectively a multifaceted directed energy weapons platform that I will list rapidly a few things that it can do. Vehicle detection. We're learning that these off-world craft, on-world craft, ours or other nations, are also emitting neutrinos. So this makes the South Pole Station effectively an air traffic control station for this new level of equipment that nobody's discussing. In addition to the ability to detect neutrinos and the exotic vehicles, I have provided documentation that shows that this is also a system for faster than light communications. In the past, Gary McKinnon has hacked NASA, found the off-world fleet, the list of captains, and it's apparent that if we have faster than light vehicles moving throughout the system, we're going to need faster than light communications. This is that facility. Unfortunately, I have other bad news. The season that I was there, 2010 to 2011, we converted from construction to operations and maintenance in both the elevated station and the detector array. Unfortunately, when they first fired it up, that was when we had the earthquakes in Christchurch, New Zealand. There's two incidental shots before they were able to target it correctly. This is an earthquake-generating device as well. This is the weapons of war that we have to deal with now and what Raytheon's hiding. There's an ELF system at the South Pole Station that when I was arrived, I was told it was off, dismantled, and completely defunct. In my work, I will rapidly just tell you, I had to figure out the circuitry for certain other repairs, and I found that this system is, in fact, completely energized, up and running, and being utilized with the other systems for nefarious purposes as well. The Atmospheric Research Observatory is in what we call the clean air sector. I witnessed myself a very powerful green laser shooting out of the top of this facility into the cosmos. This, I believe, is a secondary form of long-range communications and or a defense system. A question of power comes into play for all of these facilities that are present. I assure you, I knew what was going on, I knew the load demands of the facility, and all of these new items exceed the demand for the systems that I was presented. I am doing due diligence and research. I believe there is either a secondary power supply there that is either nuclear, that was there prior to the start of the Antarctic Treaty, which prohibits such things, and or that there is some sort of exotic power supply system there that just is not in the verbiage of the treaty, so it negates the responsibility to the parties involved.
So, I mean, and this is just what we're actually finding out about. It's leaking out here and there, everywhere. And the more whistleblowers that come forth, the more whistleblowers are going to start going, you know what, I need to get on the right side of the fence, because this whole thing is coming down. Everything. Our whole civilization is not going to withstand the friction that's going on right now. It's just a matter of when, where, we know. It's going to be the whole planet. It's going to be a matter of when and how. How devastating will it be? These morons, they have no qualms about dropping nuclear weapons. None at all. It's like you're playing chess with somebody, and they always seem to be winning. But now we have so many videos and people documenting the game, and they're showing us, no, wait, they're not winning fairly. They're cheating. They're rigging the game. And it's getting so bad now that it's getting to that, excuse my language, but it's getting to that fuck you moment where they just flip over the board and say, game over. Well, that flipping over the board could be pretty bad on a lot of people. So I think I'd like to leave you with something positive here. And it has to do with the more people we can wake up and the more we can wake up ourselves, the more that feeds into the morphic field, the planetary consciousness. Because there's something going on that goes way beyond the human mind. My wife and I have talked about this, and if by some grace of cosmic being would come down and explain exactly what reality is, I'm pretty sure we would say, wow, I never thought of that. It's going to be so different from anything our little monkey minds have come up with that it would totally blow our mind. I think we need to get ready for that moment, because I think it's coming. There's going to be an explosion of consciousness that's going to resonate through humanity like a tidal wave. And it's going to be up to your level of consciousness, your frequency, whether you ride that wave or get buried by the wave. For those of us that's going to ride that wave, it's going to take us into a new kind of future that it would be moronic and idiotic to even try to describe it. Islam people say, if the truth could be told, my brother would tell me. And we can't put words on some of this stuff, but we can. It'd be like if you're blind and you're deaf and you're walking by a bakery, you can't see what's in the bakery. You know, you can't hear what they're talking about in the bakery. But briefly, as you're walking by, you can get a brief smell of what's in there. And soon after you have that brief smell, it starts dissipating again. With the correct level of awareness, you can get a momentary of what's coming. And you can't put words on it. There's no way you can pin it down or put words or anything. This is where, and it no longer takes a genius to figure this out. We're never going to come up with the solutions from the same level of thinking that created all these problems. We have to engage our consciousness and do whatever it takes to be mentally sound and healthy. Because we have a lot against this. 5G, the so-called vaccinations that are actually experimental treatments. Except I think they know what the experiment is about. The food we eat, all the genetically modified organisms that we're purging into our body, the chemtrails with all the nanotechnology. I mean, people really get out there and look into all this stuff, because it's no longer conspiracy theorist. I mean, I remember 2012, we had a front cover on our Lotus Guide magazine of chemtrails. And I got so many people saying, what are you talking about? That's a conspiracy theory. And all I could say is, I remember one lady stopped me on the street. You know, I was putting the magazines in the stand, and she says, you know, that's a conspiracy theory. There's no such thing as chemtrails. And she says, I just don't believe this. And I said, well, and I was trying to be polite. She's a nice little old lady. It's not her fault. I said, you know, the belief in chemtrails is, it's not like it's a religion. You know, these are factually based, informational kinds of things that are going on. And while I was talking to him, there was a huge chemtrail crisscross pattern up above. And I asked her, have you ever looked up? And she said, why? I said, well, look up there right now. Look up there. And I swear to you, she could not see the chemtrails. She said, well, those are just clouds. I said, they're just clouds, like crisscross back and forth. She says, oh, you just believe in too many conspiracies. That's where it becomes apparent to me at that point to stop talking. There's no place you can take a conversation that ends well. So enough for today, as Osho used to say, and I'll see you in a couple weeks. And if you want to get in touch with me, Rahasya, R-A-H-A-S-Y-A, at USA.com. If you feel like giving a donation, you can go to lotusguide.com/donation. And once again, you can always find me on BBS Radio and Rumble. So have a nice day, and continue to get prepared, because something's coming. Thank you.